The topic today, I think, is a very, very practical topic. Mirtz Hashem, something that will come up in your lives many, many times, whether you stay here in Eretz Yisrael or you go back to Gullus. And that's the topic of business meetings, vacations, where can I eat? What can I eat? And I get a lot of these questions. I got a lot of these questions specifically in Camp Misora, you know, when everybody goes on their little trips, and you go to Six Flags, or you go to wherever, the Syracuse Mall even. So these are big questions that come up, because you're in an area that unfortunately does not have a sprawling amount of kosher food, and you want to know, what can you have? I mean, chas v'shalom, you can't go an entire day without eating. That's crazy. And when it comes to business meetings as well, you have this question as well. You find yourself on a business trip, you don't know what you're going to eat. We will not discuss, which is actually a very large topic that I discussed together with my students last week, the Shana Aleph students, about the Isser of Marisayan. We spoke about specifically business meetings in actual business locations, restaurants, non-kosher restaurants, whether or not that was considered to be Marisayan. The reason why I'm not going to discuss it is it's a topic within itself, so it's not for now. But there are some great, amazing tshuvas. I quoted the Mishnah in Shkolim about the Kohen himself not being able to have anything in his pockets. He had no pockets. He wasn't allowed to have pockets. He wasn't even allowed to wear tefillin because we're afraid that people might stay stuff, whether he gets rich or poor. If he gets poor, they're going to say because he stole from the Lishka, that's why he's poor. If he gets rich, they're going to say he got rich because he stole money from the Stucka box. And the beautiful pasuk that they quote, Vayisim Nikiyim Yashem Yisrael. We always have to see him Nikiyim. So that's where this topic comes up. Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach has a tshuva about shoes that are non-leather shoes but look like leather. Can you wear them on Yom Kippur? Rav Moshe Feinstein has a number of different tshuvas where he discusses specifically restaurants, and this actually is important, just to quote this part. In Or HaChaim Gimel Chav Hei, Rav Moshe Feinstein was asked about actually going into non-Orthodox synagogues, whether it's going to be Marisayan as a separate entrance. This is very popular today. Many of the conservative synagogues are turning into ghost towns. Nobody's going there anymore. So they're renting it out to Orthodox shuls. But they still have their little gathering there. So Rav Moshe, in his time, and understand that Rav Moshe was fighting conservative and Reform Judaism, trying to make it something that's, you know, mius, that people wouldn't do. So he there says that the person shouldn't do that. It's Marisayan. Rav Asher Weiss has beautiful pieces in his Sefer, and he goes back and forth of different questions. He was asked, he was in South Africa, and he was asked about a situation where you have a huge cafeteria. And many companies have this, where you have this large building, it's in the middle of nowhere, you go to almost a campus, you know, I'm thinking of, you know, Google, it's like a huge campus, or whatever, and you're there, and a person finds himself in the cafeteria. There's plenty of kosher food options, meaning you could have there's plenty of fruit, and there's snack bags that are all OU, and that would not be something. But he discusses whether or not that's Marisayan. It seems like people know. At the end of Rav Moshe's tshuva, Rav Moshe does say that if a person is in a non-kosher restaurant situation that clearly sells items that are kosher and non-kosher, many of these bodegas you go into, right, they have there, you know, a huge sign that says, we exclusively use Boar's ham. Boarhead ham, and what? And you take a picture in front of it first, and then you go in, you get yourself your dipsy doodles, right? They sell dipsy doodles. I'm just giving one example. They sell your, they have, oh, you, so what's the big deal? What's the problem? So potentially that's not going to be considered to Marisayan simply because people understand. Rav Asher Weiss shows the distinction. Sometimes in the Gemara uses the word chashad, sometimes it uses the word Marisayan. He said the difference could be what other people think that you're doing is wrong. You're committing an avera, and if a person is committing an avera, that's obviously a huge isser. A person's not allowed to commit it. It looks like you're doing an avera, so I'm going to go around, chas v'shalom, but telling Lashon Hara about you. Look, he's doing an avera. Look, I saw him eat a Burger King. Or I'm going to interpret that what you're eating is kosher. That's bad, and maybe there's a distinction between when it says that. In any case, Rav Moshe does allow, if a person's really hungry, to go into this cafeteria setting and obviously get things that are kosher and that it wouldn't be considered to be Marisayan. A lot of the tshuvas bring the example, so I'll bring the example. I said we're not discussing it today, so just to show you what we're not discussing, of Shetel. that Shaita would be a typical example of Moshe Feinstein was asked this question by a teacher that I used to have. We knew him as Mr. Lapa, but he writes here Harav David Lapa. And he said, my wife's wearing a sheitel now. Isn't that Mara Sinai? Nobody knows that it's a sheitel. So Moshe marshals him, he schools him big time and says to him, first of all, you're clean shaven. Nobody goes up to you and says, why'd you use a razor this morning? So that's a push that would be. And they said, many people know what a sheitel is. Rav Shlomo Zalman has asked this about. He says, listen, I don't understand what it is, but a lot of people tell me they can tell the difference. And therefore, it wouldn't be considered to be Mara Sinai. So that's what we're not going to discuss today. A huge raid came into play a number of years ago when it came to Starbucks. And Starbucks is that go-to place that if you're on a business trip, and right, you find yourself in the airport, you find yourself stuck somewhere, or, as we'll discuss in a moment, you find yourself on Central Avenue, right, and you have amazing options to go to Crawford's or go to Central Perk, and you decide, I want to go to, right, that's a little bit different than what I'm saying. Here, the question is that can I go into a Starbucks? I'm on a business trip. I'm in the middle of nowhere. There's no kosher food. In the morning, I'm chalashing just to have a cup of coffee. Good question. So let's discuss.
Black coffee from Starbucks.
I mean, it's not technically not kosher.
What? I didn't hear what you said. What'd you say?
Black coffee.
Right. So black coffee, in general, is considered to seem, I'm going to admit, it's very important when you have a speaker that they tell you their history, you know, that you know what's going on. I can tell you a lot about Coke Zero, but I can't tell you about coffee. I'm not a coffee drinker at all. I am a caffeine. I'm addicted to caffeine. I have a caffeine problem, but I don't. Coffee is not my thing. I've tried it, all different types. I have, unfortunately, a number of family members who are addicted to coffee, so I know about it. Black coffee without any flavor is always kosher, even though there was a discussion in Halacha. For example, Rav Avad Yosef has a gorgeous tshuva about this, whether or not it be considered to be Bishul Akum. He advises another topic called Mesivas Akum. A person does not eat Chai Odom's Hakboda as well. Rav Shechter holds this way that you shouldn't be eating anyway, drinking in a coffee house, because a coffee house is similar to a bar. It's a place where the Gentiles hang out, and we're afraid of Kiruv, we're afraid of, because it's not a good place, and it's a weird place. It's kosher, it's non-kosher. He doesn't recommend it. Bishul Akum, we hold that it's not. We're not nervous, which we'll discuss about other areas, about the kalim. Generally, these kalim are used exclusively for coffee. The problem in Starbucks, the challenge in Starbucks, which is super interesting because this is what I told you, I discussed this last week with the guys, and this Saturday night, David Lichtenstein on his headline show discussed this exact topic with some of the great experts in the field, Rabbi Fishbane, one of the heads of the CRC. And the contention is, if you guys remember, I don't know if you remember this, about 4 years ago, the Star K, I believe it was, came out with a whole list of Starbucks kosher products, and then a year later said, oh, no, we made a mistake. Nothing's kosher anymore. What happened exactly? So the first part of the story is that Starbucks was contacted by, I'm sorry, the Star K was contacted by Starbucks because their marketing team realized that when you search Starbucks kosher, the first thing that came up was an article from the Star K that says it's not kosher. So they got very upset. Now understand that Starbucks has many, many of its products under the OU, right? Many of its coffee flavors. So first and foremost, so what they did was is that they let the Star K in and look over, and they gave their ratings of what they found was okay. Again, what's the big problem here? The challenge is that there's no mashkiach there, right? There's no such thing as a Starbucks kosher store. Maybe there is, but not that I know. There's no Starbucks kosher store. There is a franchise, just so you know, and I can tell you this because I looked into this. Frisch, who has got to be better than everyone. So there is, in the Yeshiva Flatbush, they have a Crawford. We spoke, he's a wonderful person. We spoke to him about potentially coming into Frisch, and they wanted to open up, what's it called now, the Den? Yeah, the Den. So it's a little coffee shop over there to support the addiction of in my opinion, a horrible addiction for somebody who's, under 18 years old. They shouldn't be addicted to coffee, but okay. They're going anywhere, right? They're going anyway to Starbucks. So we looked into different franchises. It was very interesting. Dunkin' Donuts, who I actually spoke to, corporate headquarters, will not open up a Dunkin' Donuts franchise inside of a school. It's very, very, they have a precedent. No high schools, no nothing, because it's not good marketing for them. They think that it's a bad sign. It's like when Camel cigarettes, they proved that the whole reason why they came up with the Camel cartoon is to entice kids into smoking, which unfortunately worked very, very well for them. So, what? Yeah. And a tsunami. So and got kids to move to Israel. No. So the question is, with Starbucks is much more difficult. The question is why a year later the Star K came back on it and said everything now is problematic. That I don't want to say why, but there could be reasons why. I spoke to a few mashgichim in the field that seem to have their own answers. So one of the problems, which is easy to discuss, is that not everything in Starbucks is actually kosher. That's 100% true. That's confirmed by our dear friends at the OU as well. For example, a great example, and I'm sorry if you drink this product, because hopefully you won't drink it anymore if I tell you this, the Frappuccino. So the Frappuccino is a powder. It's a powder. I've seen how this is made. I've asked to look, and they've showed me. It comes from this huge powder box that they have. And that powder actually comes from outside of the United States of America. It comes from, India or something like that. And what it is that it's a powder that's made into powder through a machine that dehydrogenizes this item. It's $1 million machine. It's cheaper to do it outside of the United States, unfortunately. The problem is that there's no mashgiach there. Now, it could be the ingredients within this coffee mix is kosher. But the question is, what was made before, right? A very popular item to make to put into a machine like this, it's called the spray, is bones of an animal. They make gelatin. That's how they make gelatin. Delicious, right? Anything could have been made. What?
We discussed this a couple months ago, I think.
We did?
Yeah.
What?
No.
The issue is the before. Yeah, I think that somebody asked a question. We had a question and answer. So don't worry, we're not only going to discuss this, I have some new stuff too. So there the question is, so there we know it's not kosher. Now, it's interesting because David Lichtenstein was fighting with a beautiful, amazing Talmud Chacham, great halachic knowledge of saying, well, and this is going to be, interestingly enough, the question when I get more than once about popcorn, and that is, well, I know now the oil's kosher. I saw the oil. They showed me the popcorn kernels. Let's assume it's in America. You don't have to check kernels. In Israel, it could be problematic. You're supposed to check kernels. I found bugs, by the way, in popcorn kernels. And so what's the difference? So what's everybody going to say? Yeah, but you don't know what the oil was yesterday. You don't know what the oil is. So that's an interesting question. Because even if, I mean, let's do something more simple, like popcorn. So even if yesterday, right, especially when you ask the lady and she says, no, this is the oil we use. So they made some mistake and they got a non-kosher oil. So now it's been 24 hours since they used it. And the first run, you probably didn't eat. You could see that it's not the first run. So he tied that over here too. So we say, okay, l'chachil, it's not a good thing to do. And by the way, the bottom...
It's not treat. They didn't use treat. Most likely.
Wait, in what? No, but if the, let's say the oil... Let's say we cannot ascertain what the oil was yesterday. And let's say the oil yesterday was not kosher, which is possible.
It's not kosher, it's not treif.
What do you mean? It could be treif. Treif mamish.
Meaning
lard.
Pig oil?
Yeah. Not pig oil. First of all, that's not true. Oils have animal fats in it that are not kosher. That's 100% true.
Usually what they use is canola oil or peanut oil.
You're correct. That's, so, again,
you
I'm...
You can
I'm,
verify that. Yeah, no. I can't verify that, but I'm saying most likely...
So outside the United States, I'm 100% sure that there are places that use that. I just want to give you the example. McDonald's was sued for millions of dollars because for years they advertised that their French fries are vegetarian because it was made on a separate fryer and they use only vegetable oil. And this was, and you don't fool around with the vegetarians. And there was one guy who was actually allergic to animal oil and he got very sick and they couldn't figure out why. He had French fries every day. And they traced it back, and they started testing the oil at McDonald's. And guess what? There was animal fat. They lied. They were sued for millions of dollars. There was a settlement done. The settlement went to a lot of different organizations to speak more about. One of them was the OU, who got like $5 million to advertise and to speak about, you know, what it is to be kosher and so on and so forth. So your premise, I just think, is incorrect because there is such thing, obviously, because McDonald's was using it for years and years. They got look online.
A majority of people don't use it.
I'm just saying, it doesn't matter what a majority. You're right. And the ladies promised me, again, I'm trying to argue differently. Every single website that you go on, any research you do about this, any safer that you're going to take out, is just going to write you a very simple logic. And they're going to say it's usher, it's usher, it's usher, it's usher. It's easier to say that it's usher, right? And I agree with the premise that it's, you know, there could be problems with that. However, I have to be a halachic person and tell you, that being said, it's not as bad as it sounds. Because even if it was treif, so it's 24 hours probably, and especially if you do the lady says to you, again, the question is she neman? What is she? She shows you the thing. And then you say to her, parenthetically, by the way, is this the oil you use all the time? Yes, it's the oil you use all the time. It's hard to say. You want to tell me you don't want to use it. It's very nice to say that. Again, it's great to be machmir. I have a problem when my kids used to go on trips. So with Camp Masora. So it happened to be one of the trips that my kid went on. So he went with one of the chinuch rabbis. And the chinuch rabbi was writing text to everybody, you know, how's the trip going? And now they went into a movie theater and he says, I have great news. I told the kids they can get the popcorn. It's OU certified popcorn. So afterwards, I went up to him and I said, listen, I don't want to get you in trouble, but, you know, I run an OU certified, you know, catering, and you're not allowed to say that. It's not OU certified. You didn't go to Binghamton, New York, that has, you know, hardly any Jews in it, and go there and say, it's not certified. You happen to see the ingredients. I said, I think that it's not fair to make my kid, put my kid in a situation. Now all of his friends are getting popcorn, and he's going to get the popcorn. I don't know if it's the best thing to do. Again, also because we just don't know. Now, this isn't similar to a case, okay, which is a real case, everybody's eye, 100% real, where a person has, these kids would ask me these questions all the time. I was a chaperone for 2 years on the trip that they took to Boston. So I laid down the law. I said, listen, guys, I'm really sorry. We're going to have a really fun time, except there's only one thing I'm going to ask you to have to keep. Really, two things. Two things. One, the laws of Chil Hashem. You will not disgrace the name of Hashem, and that's through the place that we're staying. And I don't know why, but they stayed at a fancy Hilton. And Baruch Hashem, they were wonderful, wonderful kids. And they were weird Kiddush Hashem. The lady showed me the note that they wrote, the note in the system that said, these kids are angels. We'll have them back every year. One of the women actually, very interestingly, we had an incident the first night. There was a little bit too much noise. I argued that it really wasn't fair. They were arguing it's a business hotel. Well, you took us as customers, and it really wasn't fair. They were overly, the kids were only talking in their rooms. And somebody complained. And in the morning, I went to the general manager, and I said, listen, I'm a business guy. I happen to be, I'm a platinum member of Hilton. I said, I have to be a little bit offended when I'm telling you. Why did you put, you have like two floors, the boys' floor, the girls' floor. In the middle of the floor, there was some Nebuch business guy who was there, and he was upset that 2 a.m. there's talking. So I said, why would you put the guy on the floor? What's wrong with you? Put him on, there's 8 floors in the hotel, I don't understand. I said that, and the next day it was so much better and the kids were nice, whatever. And they all decided, I didn't tell them to do this. A lot of them cleaned their rooms before it was clean. And one left a note. And this woman it was amazing. This woman came up to me. She was one of the managers also. I remember because she had blonde hair, really, really looked like a Mahadran, not Jewish woman. And she comes up to me and she said, can I talk to you for a second before we left? And she said, I want to show you this note. And she started crying. And somebody had written the note, and it said, we just want to thank you. We want to apologize for the first night, but we want to thank you so much. You have the greatest beds and the pillows and the shower. And she's tearing, and I'm like, I don't know why she's going. She said, I just want to tell you something. I'm Jewish. And that first night when you came in and they said all these things about you, I was like, shoot, there's going to be like a whole anti-Semitic thing. And you so much made up Kiddush Hashem. It's amazing. I'm so proud to be Jewish. It's amazing. But the second rule I had was, I determine what you can eat and what you can't eat. I don't care what you do in your house. I don't care. This is Camp Masora. This is going to be a kosher program, and so on and so forth. Now, this became a huge... Don't say that. This became a huge controversy because kids want to do what they want to do. Kids are kids, and kids think they know much better than the rabbi. So, for example, we went to an amusement park, and a kid comes up to me, and he says, listen, in my house, we're 100%. We always... go on true, whatever, we have hot pretzels. Hot pretzels are hot pretzels. What can be the problem with hot pretzels? Furthermore, the kid was a frum kid. He said, look at the hot pretzel box. It says on it, hot pretzels, OU. What can be the problem? I said, you're right. Except, come with me. And I asked the guy, I say to the guy, I went to a Knicks game once. I love hot pretzels. Like, especially, sorry to say, but in Israel, I don't know if you ever had hot pretzels. In Israel, the hot pretzels have sesame seeds on it. There's like some guy who I don't know, some Israeli convinced like there's a law in Israel, everything has to have sesame seeds on it. You know, like it's crazy. Right? The berekas. Like, I don't want sesame seeds on my bereka. Right. Yeah. So anyway, so I went to a Knicks game once and I was mulling over should I have a hot pretzel or not. And I ordered a hot pretzel right before, I didn't pay yet. And as I'm about to pay, I'm about to give the guy the money, I see him take out the hot pretzel. And it's in a little, in a drawer. And it has in it, he said to me, do you want the ones on the thing? Or do you want like a, I go, no, I want a real piping hot one. And he opens the drawer and he takes out the hot pretzel. And on the bottom of it are hot dogs.
Oh,
and
no.
Chicken nuggets. And I'm like, this is mama's trafe. And I'm like, holy cow. So I showed the kid. I said, look, this, sometimes you're, especially now with allergies, sometimes you're okay. And it, but we take, like we just say, oh, come on, what could ever be? Sometimes you're probably right. I gave the example to the guys as well when it comes to going on a business trip, right? This happened to me all the time. You go on a business trip. Most, obviously, I pick the hotels to stay at based on the free breakfast, right? Because especially if you're not in a Jewish area, this may be your only, you know, good meal of the day. And oftentimes you'll go, I've done this so many times, and they're usually very, very nice, and they'll let you go in the back.
Yeah.
So you go to the back, and you'll be shocked to find a lot of the stuff come from a company called Cisco, and they have a lot of the products, all of the breads, like so many. Again, I'm not saying this is not, I'm not poskening, but you'll find that a lot of the stuff is kosher, right? Again, the problem is, the challenge is that it's not prepackaged. Meaning it's in a huge package, so you have to make sure. And the bagels and the everything's amazing. So, Baruch Hashem, you're able to eat. One non-business trip I went on was actually our last trip before, our last hurrah before we came to Israel. We went with my parents to Florida. This is the January vacation. And I have a friend of mine whose father is a general manager at one of the hotels in Collins Avenue. So I asked him, and he said to me, he said, oh, yeah, there's free breakfast at the hotel. I'm not, don't, nothing's kosher. Don't, listen. And I was like, what do you mean nothing's kosher? Of course. So the first day I get there, it was Monday morning, I remember. And there wasn't a big rush yet of all the people. I don't know why they hadn't come yet. So I go to the lady behind the thing. I gave her like 10 bucks, and I said, it's a lot of money for me. And I said, can I go behind the thing and see? Because it's the whole week. I mean, this is like a big, this is really important for me. So she says, sure, come with me. I go to the back, and again, I'm shocked. All the bread, all the muffins, and all the stuff, OU's, KVH, happened to be, this is a little funny, the eggs that they make comes from an egg, like a liquid powder, and she puts it in the microwave. It had a big OU on it. Why wouldn't I have it? Because the next product she was making was bacon in the same oven. Fine, it's not good. So now I tell my family, we're all like so excited that everything's kosher, right? And then they say, okay, Rabbi, what about the toaster? Toaster. What could be the problem with the toaster? What are you putting in the toaster? Toast. And it, you know, it's one of those toasters that go around in a circle. I think they used to have in the yeshiva upstairs, yeah. Right? Goes around in a circle.
Oh, yeah.
So I said, listen, technically I can't tell you there's anything wrong with it. And everybody knows bread is so much, especially packaged bread, toasted. I said, but you never know what was in the toaster. It's an oven. They think I'm crazy, you know? So not everybody poskin like I did. And the second morning we were there, this guy made himself a sandwich. He took the bacon because the bacon was microwaved. So apparently crispy baking is amazing. And he just put it on the thing. It kept going around and around. And mom has trafed it up. Go, ah, yes, go ahead. The next question became, so that's why I think that you, oh, come on, Rav Hartstein, what's the case? I saw it happen. What's the chance of it? Fine. The second thing is a much harder question to answer. All these places have these waffle makers, right? And you have out the Pam, right? And you have out the liquid, and the liquid's, oh, you know, that was a hard one. So I felt, again, you know, Mr. Bacon Guy could do the same thing. He might like a bacon waffle.
Yeah.
Again, I have a problem with it. What? Yeah. So, I don't know. Once again, I recommended not to use it. Now, another potential problem, which is, yeah, I'm sorry, go ahead. Yeah.
You can't eat anything there. You can't order out.
No, you could have the, like I said, you could have the raw product. If you ascertain and you see that it's in a huge box and they take out the bagels and the bagels say OU on it, so that you can have the bagels and they have little mini butters and they have, I'm like, it's like an amazing thing. And they have cereals that are prepackaged in the milk. So there you're great. You have some more. What?
You can't use their
color. So usually it's plastic color. Yeah, cutlery is a very problematic, and that's sort of actually the next topic I'm getting to, is the question is how everything is washed. We generally have a cloud that if things are cold, they're not so problematic. I don't think we'll ever do this again. But in your room, like I always think about, you know, every trip that I've gone on when I go in for work, so usually every weekend revolves around that I'm away for the weekend, so some Shabbaton. So for me, a single guy, you know, single on my family's not there. It's great to go to a hotel for two nights, you know, hang out there. And you have these like little pets. So one of the things I do is I mess up my room. My room is a mess, right? Because my wife, Baruch Hashem, she's amazing, but she makes me have a very, very clean house. She's very German in that way. So I want to, you know, and then one of the things is, you know, Baruch Hashem, I don't drink, but I bring up, you know, again, I'm catering the foods. I can bring up any food I want, but I bring up a nice big 2 liter of Coke, put it in there, make sure I have a refrigerator, and take out one of the glasses from the hotel. You know, they have all the hotel glasses. And, you know, I'm drinking the whole night. I'm drinking Diet Coke, of course. Don't worry, you know. And fine. The question is, what about that glass? So the glass is mutter, because the glass, I'm not saying you should use the glass anymore because of COVID. I think it's, if you know about them washing it, and there's always these, you know, they do these exposés how disgusting it is. So that's not going to be problematic because it's cold with cold. Nobody generally uses on a glass hot. Yeah.
Also, like one thing that was brought up to me is someone asked his rub.
Yeah.
Like he's like some Rebbe YU, or I don't remember who it was. Yeah. And so he asked, like, is there an issue with using, say, milky glasses with plate, like with plate shake food?
Yeah.
And his response was, ask a chemist if they throw out their stuff after every single time they use it. The answer is obviously no, because glass is not. The glass does not function like porcelain in that it does not take in the ta'am, whatever it is.
Stainless steel,
and the same thing goes with stainless steel as well.
Right. So when it comes to glasses, we generally are, and I can tell you the OU policy. When we go to a hotel, obviously we can't use any cutler or anything. They'll let us use. Oftentimes, people want to make kiddush on a glass, which I think is a little bit funny. That they're so machbit to use a glass over most of the Shabbatons. We're using plastic, so they're choshesh. The truth is. So it's the famous, excuse me for saying, but I know the information. Everybody quotes Rav Moshe Feinstein. He didn't allow plastic. It's true. He has a tshuva about it. I spoke to his son, Rav Ruvain. He said that's not 100% true. Is that when you have a choice, you don't have a choice. He didn't think the double, I don't know if you've ever seen guys that do double two things. He never said that. He said I think he was talking about in Israel. You guys know the cups that we use are so flimsy. There he thought maybe. In America, he didn't think so. And glass, you're correct. So they allow us to use, quote unquote, trafe glasses. For both, for as long as it's cold, that's not going to be as much of an issue. Mugs are more of an issue because mugs are made out of China, so that does absorb. And people recommend that you don't use that. Yes, sorry, what'd you say?
Why can't you use the
color? Why would you be able to? It's not kosher. What? It wasn't used for cold though. Let's say it was used for trafe, for hot.
How hot? Doesn't it have to be hot enough to?
No, but it had the schmaltz in it. The question comes like this. Let's get to the source. So, in Starbucks and in other places, right? The reason why we're going to have a heter possibly for these utensils, like when you go to Friendly's was always a shaila in my day. Friendly's was a very popular place, especially on when you go to camp. So you would stop again. There's no kosher places. And Friendly's, we know the ice cream is a franchise agreement. The ice cream is always kosher. You have no problem, right? So the question is, though, you're sitting in the trafe restaurant, right? Which, we're again, going back to our beginning, is not going to be Mara Sion, let's say. So you're going to go to the trafe restaurant, and everybody knows you're getting ice. Everybody knows they sell ice cream. It's called Friendly's. Eh? So the question is, what about the kalim? So again, the assumption is, right, the question is, how do they wash the kalim? So generally, the way that washing works, as I hope you know, I hope in your house you do the same. When you run the dishwasher, for example, and you put the kalim in, really technically you could wash fleishik and milchik the same. Why? Because you're putting dishwashing liquid in. And that's called noisin tan lefagam. It's adding a disgusting taste. So even though the bacon might lift up and say, hi, bacon, and say hi to the kosher, right, in the Starbucks case, where it's saying hi to the kosher this, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins in Yeridea, Simon Kufhei, Chom Shel Kli Rish, I'm sorry, it says the following in Tzadikei, I believe, Sif Dalet, says, Yirali, she'im nitna offer b'mayim, if you put offer, which nowadays would be the liquid detergent, whatever it is, doesn't have to be liquid, dishwashing soap, whatever, b'chamin, she'b'yom kodesh, anicho k'deira b'toicha, it goes nois in time of gam, it adds a bad taste to it, and that's why it's going to be mutter. The problem and challenge in Starbucks is, for some odd reason, their rules are that the first wash that's done is without dishwashing soap. They put a little sanitizer in, which is not considered to be nosin tam lefgam. You would potentially drink such a water. It doesn't have taste to it. It's very, very mild. The question is, why don't they put dishwashing liquid in? Nobody knows, and obviously Starbucks could care less about you. So that's what they do. That's their rule. That could create an issue. Now, it's true that some interpret the same Shulchan Aruch to say, no, as long as at some point they do it, which is exactly what the second wash and maybe even the third wash does, then it wouldn't be a problem. Again, understand the Starbucks issue. Starbucks is taking that plate that has in it tarfus, mamish tarfus, right? It was just used for a bacon sandwich. There was a student here in the yeshiva whose grandfather was involved with Howard Schultz and used to supply a lot of the, I'm sorry to say, but non-kosher food for Starbucks. And now that has, let's say, remnants of bacon on it. And now what are you doing? You're combining it together with your kosher brew basket and all the stuff for the coffee. So Rav Schechter had an issue with this. Rav Schechter, obviously one of the poskim for the OU, said that he thought this was problematic, even though he thinks we don't poskim like the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish in Yoredei and Siman Chaf Gimel says that it's an issue as long as at one time they touched each other without this detergent, which is exactly what's happening in that case. And that being said, both the Taz and the Shach disagree. And they say that it would never be mutter. This is what the Chazon Ish quotes. And therefore, he says it's usher in all cases. Rav Shachla said we're not choshes with the Chazon Ish. Some great rabbis wanted to be choshes. Rav Aaron Kotler, for example, was not. And that created this big issue with Starbucks. Now, there's two types of Starbucks that you should know. One is the actual Starbucks store, and one is the kiosks. When you go to an airport, generally, they're not heating up any food for you. It's just coffee, coffee, coffee. And there, if you could ascertain what's going on, again, kashrus is a really big issue here. You got to make sure the syrups are kosher. You got to make sure the whipped cream or whatever you're putting on it is kosher. Not just say, it's probably okay. I never heard of a whipped cream that's not kosher. That's not true. I found whipped creams that aren't kosher. Again, I do a lot of this research. When we went on a trip, right, if I'm going with the whole camp and I'm representing the camp, I won't let them go to an ice cream store if I don't check everything. Right? There was one kid. We were in Quincy Market. And we explained to the kids, there's no kosher places. There's that one place. There's one kosher restaurant there. I forget what it's called. And we said, you can go to that restaurant, but there's no other kosher place. I see a kid. I can't believe this. He's holding a Dunkin' Donuts croissant with an egg in it, eating it. So he's eating it. Unfortunately, I reacted inappropriately. And I smacked it out of his hand. And I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, no. He says, Rav Hartstein, there's a kosher Dunkin' Donuts. So I quickly search it. There's no kosher Dunkin' Donuts here. So I said, what are you talking about? He goes, no. I went in, and the lady behind the counter, I asked her, is it kosher? And she said, yeah. So I said, wait a minute. The Indian lady behind the counter told you it's kosher, and you think that's good enough? What's wrong with you? Oh, okay, sorry. Right. So that would be the issue. Now, a very famous psak on the Star K website. Yeah, you want
to
ask a question before?
Go ahead.
Yeah.
So you said that not everyone holds
it. Yeah. Rav Schechter said
you're not holding it.
Rav Schechter says, however, in the case of the Chazon Ish says in any time, as long as they combine with each other these two items, he doesn't hold from those same tam lipkam. And he said that it would be usser. Rav Schechter thinks that it's an issue that the first wash is done this way. And therefore, it does add to it, and it does cause a problem because of the first wash. Yes, subsequent wash is going to have soap, but it's too late now. So he holds that it's a problem. And again, it could be a unique problem only to Starbucks. And therefore, like you're saying, general utensils, the argument is that when I have my soup, here's what I want to say. When my soup spoon is generally not the same spoon as the ice cream. That could be, you know, again, and they're washing it in between. They're putting it in the dishwasher.
Is it
Yad's letter
for sure
Yad's letter, but that's part of the problem. But again, because it has the dishwashing liquid, it's probably not problematic. Says Rav on the Starcade website, listen to this is a great kula, which I have a little bit of a problem with. I'll explain to you why. Rav Heinerman, the head of the Starcade, great poisek, Paskins that when someone is traveling, he is considered to be in a BD Evid situation, right? I'm in an emergency situation. I'll be honest with you. I've had these situations before here in Eretz Yisrael. I'm very careful with my kids. My kids sometimes make the mistake of saying, oh, we can't have this. It's not kosher, right? And I say, wait, it's kosher. It happens to be Hashkacha that we don't trust. And this is a big problem. You go on vacation. I mean, even you go on vacation. We went to Netanya Baruch Hashem, one vacation that we've had in a year. So we rented a house in Netanya. So we were duped, unfortunately. My wife and I, my first dupe was my wife made me go for a walk every day. Okay. So we go, after she like ran like 25 miles, she's like, okay, now loser, let's go for a walk. You know, like a special stucca she would do for me. So we go on this walk. It's beautiful outside. You know, we're right on the beach, beautiful. So she knew that there's only one thing after the walk. There's only one thing that I needed, right? I need to buy a nice cold Coke Zero. So fine. So the first day we go to a place, happens to be, it was right where, for Pesach, my wonderful parents take us away to the Ramada, which is across the street. There's the Island Hotel. They have a lot of stores there. So I went into a little kiosk there, and I bought my Coke Zero. And I started schmoozing with the guy. I thought it was funny. You guys have here, you know, you probably don't know, the bread that you have here, a lot of the bread comes from a place called Klein's. Klein's is a guy from here. He lives here. When I was working in the yeshiva, I had him come in, and as and Baruch Hashem was able to help him have a parnasa, and now they're doing very well. They don't need me anymore. So I said, I was laughing at the guy. I see he's got all this Klein stuff. So look, he got Klein's bagels and stuff. Okay, fine. So he says to me, he says, oh, yeah. I said, what happened to, there used to be a Lechem Basar right there. Lechem Basar is amazing. I said, that's where I was going to go with my family tonight. He said, yeah, closed down, you know, Corona, da-da-da. He says, but why don't you eat at my restaurant next door, Chubby's. It's actually called Chubby's. So I said to him, oh, Chubby's? I said, oh, I only eat I said to him, Todah Rabah, but I only eat the Mahajan. He goes, ma, is it Beit Yosef? I go, oh my God, it's Badas Beit Yosef, great. I tell my kids, it looked like a great restaurant. We go online, oh my God, this place has amazing food. It's got all that, you know, aged brisket and all that stuff. We're so excited. Anyway, we got there and turned out he was a little bit not so honest. He meant that the meat was Badas Beit Yosef, which turned out not to be Badas Beit Yosef, it was Beit Yosef. So I was in a quote-unquote emergency situation. My kids were already sitting down there. I would have walked out, but I had a chance to speak to the Mashgiach. And the Mashgiach showed me the different meats and the chickens, and we ascertained that it was b'di'evit okay. So there are b'di'evit situations, right? I wouldn't normally have eaten there. If it was in Ramat Beit Shemesh, there's a place here called Rubens, which is a wonderful place, I'm sure. It has a Rabbanon Hashkacha. Again, what does it mean, Rabbanon Hashkacha? It means that generally, if you have a Rabbanon Hashkacha, your meats are probably not glatt meats, which you might not care about. But if you're from America, your whole life you've been eating glatt meat, it's a chumra that we've accepted upon ourselves. So that's like one category. So there, the guy's very honest. The guy will tell you, you can't have this steak, can't have this, can't have that. Here are a few things you can have. Question is, you want to be, when we have a community, Baruch Hashem, that has 20 different restaurants, I'm not really sure why you have to go to that one restaurant that doesn't keep the standards that you're used to. But there are situations. So where does Rav Heinerman get this? And therefore he says, if you're in a B'di'evit situation, you can have kosher, obviously, Starbucks coffee, and this would apply, right, on an airplane or in a gas station situation where you can't 100% ascertain where that coffee thing was before, and maybe they could, it's probably going to be okay, and therefore you could be mako. What is this based on? Let me just tell you what it's based on. It's based on the Yad Ephraim in Yeridea is quoted as has a tshuva based on the Nodi Yehuda. The Nodi Yehuda beautifully states that there is situations where we call a person a bidi evid situation. What's the bidi evid situation? Says the Nodi Yehuda. The Nodi Yehuda says that there was Starbucks. You didn't know this in the 1800s. They had Starbucks. It wasn't called Starbucks, but they had a coffee house. And in 18th century Prague, Jews had their thing for coffee. So now I find myself on a business trip. I'm in the famous stories. You go to the inn and they want to serve you coffee. They didn't have plastic cups in those days. What about the mug? The mug was used for actual non-Chol of Yisrael milk. Now, we colloquially call things not Chol of Yisrael, but we paskin like Rav Moshe Feinstein that you're allowed to have something that's not quote-unquote Chol of Yisrael because of the government regulations. There's no way anybody would use pig. They would get in too much trouble. And I saw an interview with somebody that works, a firm guy that works for the USDA, and he says that one of the things they test for when they get these big tankers, they have little test tubes, they test to make sure it's cow milk. So you don't have an issue. But here in Prague, they had no idea, they had no regulations. And therefore, the cup, again, the cup had in it potentially milk that wasn't kosher, even though it was, again, inside, belia inside. But you could be makel, he said. The Nodi Yehuda says that you could do that. The question is, what's called b'shas hadchak situation? Says Rav Yaakov Trump, I know it's not a good name, but Rav Trump, of course, is the rabbi from the Young Israel Lawrence Cedars. He said, is having your mocha frappuccino, which you already, Paskin, is not good, but whatever, your latte, that you could just have regular coffee. You need to have a fancy schmancy drink. I don't know if that's considered to be. And it's true that there are some situations where a person can say, I'll give you an example of a situation. You might not agree with this, and that's fair. You don't have to agree with this. When you go up to camp, right before camp, about 10, 15 minutes before camp, there is a Speedway, my favorite place in the world. Why? Because they have any size drink for 88 cents. And there they have a little kiosk Dunkin' Donuts. So the Dunkin' Donuts is 100% Trafe, right? The Dunkin' Donuts is 100% Trafe. There's no question about it. There's nothing there you can get. But what about the coffee? So now the coffee that you get, so I see what they're doing, right? They have ice. They put in regular coffee, which we said already is 100% Mutter. And then I can see behind the counter. I say to the lady, can you put in a few shots of mocha? But I see the mocha says it on an OUD. I don't see any problem with that at all. Doesn't look nice, Marisai. Again, I think that could be the emergency situation. Question is how far you take this no dihuda for emergency situations. Doesn't mean you could take it to a situation and say, oh, I could have bishlah. Guys ask me questions. A guy just asked me a question. He's going on a trip when he comes home. I guess guys are going back soon. If they're going on a trip somewhere, he says, so my parents said we're going to have fish. So what if they double wrap the fish? I go, wait, what about bishlachim? Right? Even though you might paskin to me, wait, you could eat fish raw. Right? Bishlachim, we said over shulchan malachim is one of the things. That's not really true. Because fish raw that you know as sushi is not equal sushi to all types of fish. Why? Because any fish that you have raw is called sushi grade fish. It's treated in such a way that you can't get sick from it, or you shouldn't get sick from it. Right, one of the owners of a sushi place that we use in our schools and stuff like that in events, he told me that. He said, there's no such thing. It's called sushi-grade fish. It has to be put on, they put stuff on it so that it doesn't... Right, something, I don't know, yeah. Did you want to ask a question, Moshe? Okay, so just a few more points. Oh, okay, fine. So then I won't make the points, and everybody will miss out. Go ahead.
Oh, the question was, how can you ever preemptively know you're going to be begin? Meaning, if you're ever scheduling a trip,
yeah,
you know in the future, okay, oh, I'm going to the airport, I know I'm going to become a begin in that case.
Shkoyach. I don't think that's a problem. I think this is a good question, very good question. Number one, you're right, you should plan ahead, right? Every business trip I've gone on, anybody that knows me well, I plan two very, very important things. One, minion. Two, food. I'm saying it in that order because I'm pretending I'm a rabbi now. Might be in the other order, right? And I plan literally hotel room. I think
the other way should be the more important.
What? Yeah, maybe. So, Baruch Hashem, I've been very zoicha that almost, not all, I mean, I've gone to, I went to Jordan and I went to places that clearly had no minion, but many of the trips, if there was a minion possibility, I made sure to be near the minion. So my first trip, if I'm not mistaken, I went to Geneva. And it was this show they used to have, a telecom show they had every 3 years. And being the company I work for, IVT, Net2Phone, they were the only company. It used to be when the show was over, you booked a hotel for 3 years from now. That's how crazy it was. They didn't get any. So we were staying, it was in Geneva, and we were staying in France, an hour and 45 minutes every morning on a bus. It was crazy. So, and there's no kosher food at. So one of my friends, he actually lives here now in Ramat Beit Shemesh, says, I have an idea. What's the greatest thing to do when you're stuck? Call a Chabad. So we called the Chabad House of Geneva, and we said to them, listen, can you help us out? They go, yeah, there's a motel nobody knows about. They'll definitely have. Turns out it wasn't really a motel. It was a hostel. It was a little crazy. It had a bathroom only on the floor. You had to go to the bathroom with everybody in the... it wasn't the greatest place to be. And the guy that I was room with had a horrible, horrible snoring problem. And at night, some guys got drunk, not us, and they tried to break into our room. It was a bad place. But a block away was the Chabad House. And they actually had in the morning a little bit of breakfast, which is amazing. And there was a bakery, this is crazy, a Trafe bakery, that every morning this rabbi would go to at 6 in the morning, turn the ovens on, and they would do one run of kosher croissants. And he had little stickers on it. It was amazing. Like, can you imagine hot food, yeah? So I went to the first day, I'm like... I knew the company was paying for it anyway. I go, give me six croissants. And she's like, no. I'm like, oh, she doesn't understand my, English. And she goes, no. There's a two croissant limit on the kosher thing. I didn't know. I was like, what? Anyway, we got food, so on and so on. But there's been a lot of trips that you plan it. So you're right. So you should. But what happens on my trip to the Cayman Islands? I was a good businessman. I went to the Cayman Islands and I packed $500 worth of food. I went with also was a friend of mine, and we went together. And so you're in charge of the food, so you like food. And we, you know, we did all these Noah's Ark meals, pre-wrapped, and so on and so forth. And guess what? It didn't come. All the luggage came out, and we realized that Cayman Air, only half your luggage comes. And when they saw a box, they're not going to send that. They sent it the next day. Everything was spoiled. So I was in, what am I going to do now? Bidyevit. What am I going to do? So again, it wasn't happened to be that we didn't do, I don't think we did anything Bidyevit. We found a supermarket that we found Baruch Hashem kosher food, not great stuff. We were very Bidyevit. But yeah, there was a TCBY there and I went there. I didn't just eat at the TCBY and assume it was kosher. I said to the lady, I have an allergy problem. And I looked at all the ingredients and Baruch Hashem, I was able to eat there.
But I'm saying, you're right, Cayman Islands is a problem. But let's say any major city in the U.S.,
Yeah, I totally agree. That's not a bit of a situation.
Okay. Meaning, let's
find the kosher restaurant.
No,
right.
You're flying from New York to Chicago, whatever it is. You're flying anywhere. You could wait. You know, what is it there? You wait a couple hours to eat.
Sure. That's very fair. Again, he would argue, though, once you find yourself in the airport and you have a 3-hour layover, so you could be a little bit more makele when it comes to the coffee. That's what he's basically saying. That's what the Nobi Hudu was saying. You're right. You could wait. You could be makele, but have a black coffee. Think you can be makele and have a coffee you're not sure what the ingredients are. Correct. That clearly the Nobi Hudu does not saying. Yeah.
So my question goes to this, is that when you do something b'diavad, right, literally...
B'diavad. He wants to be fancy schmancy. Yeah.
Literally, when you do something b'diavad, it's... You've done what you needed to do. That's like... That's mishulat adin.
Yeah.
But really, if you're in any sort of situation where there is a possible issue, as long as you do the diavad, you still did what you're chayav to do at least the diavad.
We don't want to live our... Okay, you're 100% right, but that's not the way we live our lives. We're not checklist Jews.
No, I'm not saying like you should go...
That's why it's okay. That's why the Nodi Hudu is saying it's okay. You're right. It's a little bit different.
But also, if you're traveling for Shalom Bayis, you're also from mitzvah, you're hunter from the mitzvah of keeping kosher.
No, that's not true. That's ridiculous. That's a ridiculous statement.
But that's what
my
Rabbi Cheryl.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, of course, obviously not. You remind me of an ignoramus similar to yourself who said to me once. When I was working for Macho Mayan, we were renting, it used to be in Beit Shemesh, so we were renting these gorgeous houses, and the main school building was in this gorgeous house. There's one street in Beit Shemesh called Masada, that has these beautiful, beautiful freestanding houses. So he realized that, he said, you know what, he was charging us a ridiculous amount of money, but he said, wait a minute, I could make more money. That's when, back in the day, when the dollar was like 4.10. I wish to Hashem it goes back to that. It was like $4.10 the dollar. So he realized he's losing money because it was in Shekel. He wanted to get more money from us. So he came to me and says, I'm breaking the contract. I go, you can't break the contract. What are you talking about? So he says, no, my wife wants. I go, you can't break the contract. He goes, I want more money. I go, okay, in a year from now, I'll give you more money. Not now. It doesn't work like that, man. So he says to me, I want to go to Beis Din. I go, what? So he said, okay, I'm not going to go to Beis Din. I want to sit in the Rabbanut HaRashit with Rav Spector. Spector was a great gadol in Beit Shemesh, unfortunately passed away. So he said, okay. So he went to Rav, and he says, I want a psak halacha. So Rav Spector said, okay, but a psak halacha, you have to, whatever I say, he says, he's 100%. He wasn't a religious man, this guy. So he says, okay, show me the contract. Rav Spector looks over the contract. He says, I don't understand. It's a binding contract. It was signed on both sides. It's binding in the state of Israel. Dina de Malchusadina, I don't understand. So he says to him, no. It's different circumstances now. He goes, why? He goes, Shalom Bayis. He says, my wife wants to move back into the house. And then all of a sudden now he starts to get lumdish. And he goes, the kulam yodim she Shalom Bayis doiche kol ha-toyra kula. And he's like, nah, it's pekuach nevev. And he's like, get out of here, whatever. And then, of course, the guy left and told me, threatened my life and said, if you don't move out of the house. And it turned out the first day after this all happened, he had somebody, and this is not a joke, he had somebody rob the building, his own house. And number two, he's threatened that if you don't give him more money, he's going to have Arabs come and protest in front of the school building. The parents in America. He's a very smart guy. Anyway, I just want to end off. So obviously you were kidding, I know. I just want to end off very, very quickly some very quick halachos. Number one, fruits and vegetables are not so pashen and simple. Obviously, we're not talking about Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is a major, major problem because of Shemitah, because of Trumas and Maaser. You can't just go anywhere, and you know it could be very, very problematic, and you have to be careful. What I'm concerned about when you go and have your salad, so that could be problematic as well. The status of the knife that was cut. We assume that if you're going to any restaurant they're going to cut the vegetables and fruits with a separate knife. You don't take, I can tell you this as a caterer, you're not going to take your fancy knife that you're cutting ham with, and you don't cut vegetables with that. It doesn't make any sense. The problem is, and this is what the OU wants to argue, Rabbi Elephant says this, based on Rabbi Belsky, that what are we nervous about? There's hustle and bustle in a kitchen. Imagine the following situation. You have this huge business meeting. I told you about my meeting, you know, when I went with Michael Bloomberg and we're sitting in the Waldorf Astoria and I'm sitting at a table with all these CEOs. And now the maitre d' comes up to me and he says, oh my God, you're Jewish. Oh no, you know, what are we going to do? He says, I said to him, no, I don't want anything. He said, no, sir, I can't. I got to serve you something. I said, okay, can you cut up some fruit for me? So now what happens? He goes into the kitchen. They're trying to get out 750 meals. And he says, oh, there's some Jew boy in the kitchen. And he wants it. The guy's, oh, fruit salad. I don't have time to make a fruit salad now. Are you crazy? Oh, fruit salad. So he's so upset that he takes his ham knife and he starts cutting the fruit salad for me. It's possible. Likely? Probably not so likely. I'm only concerned. We know that the fruit's kosher. Assuming it doesn't have to be checked. We're not talking about bug situations. If it is, obviously, then you can't eat that. And that's why it's going to be a problem getting any sort of salad with the lettuce. That lettuce is a problem. Besides the fact that if you get things that are davar charif, like hot peppers or onions, you can't get them in the salad because of the knife that it's used on it. But assuming that the romaine lettuce is going to be a problem in the salad. Obviously, salad dressing and croutons and all that stuff are not going to be kosher. So the bug issue is an issue in itself. Some want to argue, if you have it more in a fruit shake, it's a berry of this here in Eretz Yisrael, a lot of the major hashgachas will sell frozen strawberries. And if you notice on the hashgacha, it'll say l'tchina bilvad. Because once you grind something up, even though you might be eating the bug, and it's not infested. You know it's not infested, but you don't see on strawberries, you don't see generally. So now I'm eating now only pieces of a bug, and therefore it's not a berry. Some are paskin that would be mutter. That's like a very major thing in Eretz Yisrael that people will, that's the only way people will have strawberries, right? Okay, that's wonderful. The double wrap is a huge heter, which is very important when we go on business trips. And therefore, we paskin that if something is double wrapped, it could be put in a non-kosher oven. That's how we exist on all planes. They're not putting separate, they don't have a kosher oven. Now, if you know for sure that that oven is filled with disgusting remnants of, you're not really supposed to use that oven. Triple wrapping may be an example. Ovens, microwave ovens are huge problems. We have to try to get around microwave ovens, so double wrapping it in the microwave oven is okay, assuming, again, that it's somewhat clean. Some recommend, you know, but you have to be careful. If you wrap it too tight, it's going to explode. And then you'll have nothing. But that might be allowed. Others don't like that at all. Other types of utensils, an example given I never knew this until I just researched it yesterday. Coffee machines, right? You're using your Keurig machine, so that should be fine. I didn't realize they have a flavor now. They make hot soup. They have a chicken soup.
What?
So that's really problematic. If you put in the chicken soup thing, it's mama's treif. So you have to be careful of that. If you know that that's not the way that it is, then you don't have a problem. Many say that when you put food into a refrigerator, a shared refrigerator, so I once had this question, I didn't understand what the person was saying. Somebody told me that you have to have your own refrigerator. No, but if I have a sandwich or whatever it is, I have to make sure that I have a marking on the sandwich so it's not mistalik min ha'ayin, and I know that it hasn't been tampered with. So that could be easily done. You put a piece of tape around, you know you put the tape, but you sign it or whatever it is. That's what they do in the kashrus world as well. Those are again, some of the different things. Again, not involved in bishul akum, which is going to be a big problem in certain types of situations as well. And understand in all ingredients, there are very big problems with enzymes and additives and all these different colorings, which mamish could have beetles in and all these things. And in the United States of America, there's a rule that a small percentage, less than 1.something%, you don't have to put in the ingredients. So it could have a little bacon flavor, and we don't. In vatamizim lachachili, I'll do that. Was bustle b'shishim. We don't allow it if you know that it's a potential, and that could be problematic. Yeah, you had a question. Yeah. No. Maybe.
I mean, I don't know if
it's okay.
It's a question.
No, it's okay. I'll. How about this? You could ask the question after I stop the recording. Okay. All right. Yishkoyach.